Hey, Hannah O'Connell here, and you're listening to the District Conversation Podcast. On this episode, we have Jenny Wren from Body and Soul. Well, welcome to District Conversation.
Thank you.
So I suppose we want to go right back. We want to get to know everything about Body and Soul.
Cast my mind back.
Can you do it?
I can.
So look, tell us a bit about your background. How to start off?
My background is, well, my proper job.
Adult job.
I was an art director for 15 or so years. Lived in London for many, many years. And yeah, that was my day job. All the while, I have said this before, my day job really kept me in shoes and records. Music has just been one of those vocations I keep going back to. I was either immersed within the dance scene as a consumer, and then I guess once I kind of fell out of that, the other side of it, I began to look for ways to access music through other mediums. Radio was actually a really big thing for me. All of this has actually just been to try and get a job in radio.
A 10-year interview.
So in London, I started doing hospital radio, presenting a hospital radio show in hospital, obviously. And pirate radio, and accessing music on a kind of from the opposite side. I came back to Ireland, I don't know how many years ago now, and began working on Jazz FM, which was a pirate station at the time. Hopped into Carbon Records because I was buying so many records in there. I was like, I need to get in behind the counter and basically swap time for records almost. And around that time, I was doing kind of sort of involved with club nights and just kind of on the scene, not in the scene, but, you know, interested in it. And friends of mine began discussing with me whether I'd manage a band. I didn't know how to manage a band, I hadn't a clue, but I was kind of helping people out. Arvel Stanley, we went to school together. And she was doing a healing area at the Big Chill in England, mm-hmm. and was approached by Electric Picnic to come back to Ireland and set up a healing area at Electric Picnic. So she did that year one, and then year two, knowing me, and we swapped music as kids. I forced her to listen to Kate Bush when we were 11. Kind of went like, you're always listening to music and doing stuff. Do you want to bring down some bands to a stage? And here we are.
Cool. So it grew from there. You've been 10, 11 years in Electric Picnic now?
I think 12.
12 years.
Yeah. I kind of go on how old my kids are.
Yeah.
my eldest son is coming on 11, and I know I breastfed him down there. So yeah, probably 12 years now.
So you started to do this when you were quite young children?
Year one, I think I was probably pregnant and didn't realize it. And then year two, I had, a baby Beau with me, you know, a few months old, and you know, we as an outfit, the whole thing was a bit smaller then, so you know, you were doing it over a few months, and now it's grown obviously to a year long thing. I certainly didn't particularly have a clue what I was doing, and sort of colored by numbers and learnt by mistakes, mm-hmm. and have worked always through my life with the only thing I really, really trust, which is my gut instinct. And when it comes to music, it's my ear. I like something or I don't like something.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. It comes from a very honest place.
Yeah. And not to get sidestepped, but it's very encouraging to hear that even though you were pregnant and had quite young children, that you were still super involved in the music industry. It holds a lot of women back. It's something that I've thought about in my future. And I think it's really great to hear that.
I hope it's encouraging, you know, but it's not necessarily easy.
Yeah.
You know, that is the thing. It really isn't easy. And I think if we could all just reach out to each other and swap a few babies around.
Yeah.
You know, we've just confirmed the lovely Joni for Body and Soul Festival, who has just had her second child and 6 weeks old. I'm like, yeah, come down if you need to breastfeed. You know, of course, if we can just support each other. It is possible, but it's not to say that it's particularly easy. You know, Arvel herself has had a baby through the whole thing. So it's learning trying to learn how to balance the whole thing.
Yeah. And that kind of, that community, that idea really encompasses the ethos of Body and Soul. Has that always been... I know you didn't set out to do a festival, but the ethos and the feeling and the creativity and the art and the community aspect of it, it's not just music when it comes to Body and Soul.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No. And I'm, you know, much as I would dab my high music brow, I am, you know, what I do is part of an incredible tapestry. Mm. And if that tapestry wasn't there, the music wouldn't be as interesting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the whole thing has to fit together. I feel my job really is to set the kind of musical landscape behind everything else that's going on. Mm. So, you know, we spend ages programming in terms of when an act should go on and the vibe of Friday in comparison to Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, you want to get it right. People are coming on site on Friday and what would they expect, and then going off site Sunday. So, yeah, the ethos is integral to what we do, absolutely.
Yeah, and it really comes across. I mean, the first time I ever went down, I think my only other experience of a music festival was Oxygen, and I was kind of like, wow, there's other opportunities and there's other experiences out there that isn't just intense music the whole weekend.
Absolutely.
Camping, but and then
I think there's a place for everybody, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, Oxygen did its thing, and we do our thing, and, you know, everybody does their thing, but we... Well, I could say we, I'm speaking on behalf of the rest of the company, your festival. For us, it's very important, you know, and everybody is important on site. And you know, at the end of the day, really the most important people there are the people that are buying a ticket to come down to your festival.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not until they're all gone and you know, they've had a good time that you can really feel relaxed. Of course, the artists, it's very important for me personally that they're welcomed and thanked and feel good about what they're doing. And obviously, the stages we put them on, that we have incredible sound engineers, we have incredible production teams. So
yeah.
Everything is really, really considered.
Yeah. And when did you, was it a decision to break away from Electric Picnic, or did someone approach you and ask you to set up your own festival? How did that happen?
Well, Arvel could probably answer that, you know, potentially better. She's festival director. But I think, you know, when you start doing something and it kind of becomes a bit of a hive mentality, that it just, there's an energy there, and you know you've got something and you've got a great team of people, and there's just the impetus to keep going forward, although you're not fully sure of the future, and, you know, we haven't sat down and carved it out in stone and with a, you know, a 10-year plan. But, you know, the energy was right. We had learned our trade a little bit at Electric Picnic. We'd really built something, you know, pretty beautiful, and it just seemed the right thing to do, that the wings were ready to move on to something else. So I think it was just, yep, yeah, okay, Arvel sort of went, right, come on, let's jump, let's do this. And we did.
And what was that transition like from hosting an area at a festival that was established to growing your own from the ground?
Well, you see, for me, I'm sitting there going, great, I've just got bigger budgets.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm not dealing with all the stuff that the rest of the teams deal with. Of course, it's on the other end of the spectrum, very scary. But it's funny, I often get down on site and you're so involved in your Excel sheets and your emails. And then the next thing you see, you look out the window and you see these little tents popping up and you're like, oh yeah, there's people coming. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be lots of people here. And you know, it's like you know when you're brainstorming or you're studying for exams, and it's not till you lift your head and you realize, wow, yeah,
we've done this cool thing. Yeah.
And it is, it's quite an experience. As I said, Arvel would answer that differently, because there's huge financial pressure. There's
finding the space,
ensuring that the land is kept. There's, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted. You know.
And how big is your team? Like, what does the team behind Body and Soul look like?
We're actually very small. You know, when you consider what's put on at the weekend, we really are quite a small team. There's Arvel, festival director. We've just gotten in some new great people, and that'll certainly help us out. But really, the core team is only about four or five people.
Wow.
And then, of course, that grows hugely as summer draws closer. And then, obviously, on site, we have a fantastic team of a lot of volunteers that come back each year or have grown into some role within us. So, yeah, from, you know, earlier in the winter to the summer, we certainly grow.
Yeah, and what does a day-to-day look like for you?
For me,
I'm sure it changes as you get closer to the festival.
Yeah, it does change. you know, I think earlier in the year, it's just a lot of headphones on and listening to stuff, which is obviously my favourite bit. And then around now, you're getting into lots of admin, which is not my favourite.
Yeah.
but has to be done. So yeah, there's no real rhythm to a day because you can be bouncing between stuff. But often you're either chasing acts that you really wanted or responding to acts or there's a lot of listening and a hell of a lot of emails.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that look to your job and think it's like the coolest thing ever and that it's so desirable. Is there unexpected aspects to your job? Do you find it stressful?
I find it really stressful, but you know, stress. I don't know. I don't know if I fully connect with the word stress, actually, although I've just jumped into it. Probably anxious.
Okay.
I think I can get anxious around it. And also a little bit like I often get that syndrome of like, you're like the child who's been given £5 down to the shop to get those sweets and you want those sweets, but you can't have them. And it's letting go sometimes of the act you could have got over the line. So there's a little bit of anxiety around stuff and wanting to get it right, really. But who says I'm getting it wrong as well? So it's really my own marker for things. I mean, it is a cool job, of course, but you have to remember, I think within any job, there are aspects to it that that are perhaps difficult for me, you know, admin, Excel files. Particularly when I used to be a designer for so many years,
yeah.
Using Illustrator, now I'm on Excel files. It's like, oh my God, I've gone to the dark side. But you know, I think like anything, everything can look cool from the outside. At the end of the day, of course, you have to deliver it. But I would not suggest somebody to get into this because they thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I have no time to try and be cool. You know, I think I gave up trying to be cool when I was about 8. You have to come from a place of honesty and you have to come from a place of genuine love. It feels like a vocation. It's this thing I have to get out of me, and maybe I'm a failed artist and this was my expression of art. I don't know. But I would say to any, you know, youngsters out there trying to, you know, get into music, don't get into it because you think it's cool. You know, I think that's a really wrong way to get into anything. Get into it because you absolutely love it, because it's that driving passion that'll get you through those dark nights and those dark days and those Excel files.
And do you have a method to finding an act or a method to deciding if someone should go in the lineup or not? Do you have something you're always looking for? And I suppose, does that come from you as well? Is it the theme as a whole? Like, do you think, what do our audience want? Or do you just, like you said, trust your gut?
I tend to kind of trust my gut a lot.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, you know, to say I don't look to the audience would sound that I'm pushing them aside, and I really don't mean that at all. However, I think you could get very swallowed up in what people might want.
Trying to please people.
You can't necessarily please people. So we've always come from a real genuine place of honesty in that, listen, this is what we've trawled, this is what we've listened to, and this is what we think is just fantastic. And if you don't like it, that's really fine. I have this real irritation, and maybe it's because I grew up pre-internet, but you know, oh, I like that, and I like that. You don't have to like everything. It, you know, you can have valid experiences getting really angry at a piece of music or getting kind of upset about it, but as long as it jolts the cells within yourself somewhere, I think it's done its job. So everybody we put on there, it really is coming from a very honest place. We think that, you know, we're not trying to bet and that they're going to be the next big thing or whatever. They're just great artists. The method probably starts here and ends there.
Yeah.
But what we do like to try and do is that it's considered, there's equality on every level. As best we possibly can, based within, you know, the 3-day window that you have over an artist's entire touring year, and that there's difference. You know, we're not just wheeling out all electronic or all anything, so that, you know, there are times when I will step away from an act because on the particular bill it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or we've answered that sort of sound, or so you, there is a little bit of kind of
balancing
cooking involved in terms of, you know, you don't want to add more salt, you need to add. So it is, it's very considered in that respect.
That's really interesting. And not to take away from the amazing lineup that you've had and that you've had in previous years, is there any bucket list bookings that you have that you want to speak about?
Probably best not to speak about, you know, because we'll never get them.
Yeah.
we're a small independent festival, and we don't play with massive budgets, and the budgets really work within the site. They go to lots and to the smaller, more unusual areas, you know. But you know, every year I write down Cape Bush, and every year I write down Bjork, and every
year you've got to try.
You just put it out to the universe, and maybe they'll come and just have a drink with us one day. But of course, there's people. You know, one person that certainly stood out for me was Nick Cave. That was just didn't make any financial sense, but he is just incredible. So to have him and Pill, actually, they were another one. So there's people that you'd maybe aspire to, but I think they may just remain on my pieces of paper, but who knows.
And highlights over the years. You're coming into your 8th year?
Yeah, I think so, isn't it?
8 years, I'm pretty sure. So what are your highlights?
For this year or over the past 8 years?
Over the past 8 years.
Oh gosh, you know, it is like choosing between the children, really, isn't
yeah.
it? Because everything brings its own feeling, its own energy to it. As I've already mentioned Nick Cave, I think, I had to sit by myself and have a little drink of brandy afterwards and kind of
and just calm down.
Wow, I can't believe that's just happened.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he was amazing. Pill, they were kind of huge for me as well, because I've been a John Lydon fan since I can't remember. There's honestly been so many. There's great. It's wonderful also to see some of the one like fantastic Irish acts come in, and you know, maybe like year one they're on a small stage, or and then you know a few years later they're able to take a stage.
Watching them grow.
That's really, that's really gorgeous, you know. And
that you gave them that platform was feel
well,
quite awesome.
I think, you know, just to be a tiny part of their story, because there's lots of great festivals that offer Irish acts platforms, and we're just one of them. But I like to think that we certainly offer them as good a platform as we can. But just to be a tiny part of that story is great. You know, it's very cool. I'd probably need to sit down with all the acts that have ever played and pick out the ones I can't, you know. And sometimes it's even just watching the crowd or watching other people engage and have an incredible time, or you meet them somewhere and they tell you their personal story around what an act meant to them, or who they met, or their experiences, and that those things get you through the Excel file days.
How important do you think festivals are in this culture in our small country?
I think they are important, you know. When I came back from England, perhaps I should go back even further. When I left Ireland, I probably ran out of here screaming. You know, I couldn't. I'm a very open-minded person. I couldn't handle, you know, the kind of old Ireland small thinking. And to come back and see all these incredible young people. I mean, I'm not 900, but you know, I'm a little bit older. And to see them all, to create an area for gorgeous people of like-minded qualities and thoughts of varying ages, from, you know, the little ones, including my own kids, amused looking at the older dudes with fairy wings and glitter on, I think that's really encouraging, and I think it's really great, and it reminds us all of how connected we can be, and also how fucking great we are, you know. Mm-hmm. and we have moved on from, you know, old Ireland and, you know, the weight of the Catholic Church, although we're still fighting lots of stuff, and, you know, the beautiful gay community, and just, yeah, I think it's really encouraging, and it reminds us, and it does offer a space over a weekend to literally just leave your 9-to-5 at the door and come inside and just, you know, get your glitter and your wings on.
Yeah, and I think that's important.
If that's what you want to do or not, you know. Some people come to the festival and hang out in the healing area, or, you know, that there's, yeah, just to offer a mini, set up a little village for the weekend where you can be who you want to be.
And I have to say, all the times I've been there, I've really felt like I've just taken a complete break from my life, and it's been so refreshing. Yeah, so we were talking about the importance of a festival in Ireland, in our small country, and how important it is to have creativity, and the fact that you came back from London. That's something we talk about a lot here in District. We see a lot of people leaving and
coming back.
And coming back now, and it's really encouraging to see lovely little places popping up around and festivals that are growing. How do you feel about that?
I think it's amazing, and to be part of a scene that is growing and that is so good. You know, I mean, you can access this year's lineup, and we've just released more names today online. And really, you know, one thing that stands out for me is the weight of the Irish influence and how incredible all of these artists are and how ripe they are for taking a stage anywhere, and to be part of, yeah, perhaps their journey. And I think it's amazing. It's really important, and obviously not just the music artists, but the art installations, people putting on the, you know, we've Homebeat, we've Maeve, we have Alice, you know, they're all doing incredible work throughout Ireland, and being able to, Miles O'Reilly with Donal Deneen and Arbutus Yarns, you know, these are people that are doing incredible work up and down the country all year. So it's kind of like being able to bring them all together for one weekend.
Yeah, showcase.
That feels very special, and it feels very humbling to be part of, if I'm honest with you.
So what do the next couple of weeks, months look like for you? Are you up the walls?
A little bit up the walls. You know, we've gotten, that's mean. I've gotten better with my Excel files that I keep mentioning. So, you know, we're fairly close to wrapping up the programme for Body and Soul Festival.
Is this the kind of time where you look to be wrapping it up?
Yeah.
Are you quite early this year? Are
I'm
you
a little bit early this year, yeah.
On the ball with those Excel sheets.
Yeah, I know, God. and then we have an area at Latitude in England, so that'll be underway.
I didn't know about that, that's great.
Yeah, we do. And obviously we have Body and Soul Village at Electric Picnic.
Yeah.
So from here on, you are crossing T's, dotting I's, ensuring information is carried through correctly, ensuring all the teams have all the various bits. And in some respects, I mean, I'm not already, but in some respects, you'd be highlighting stuff for next year.
Wow.
Sounds nuts.
Yeah, it has to be done.
It's very unzen. It's not in the moment at all. It's
yeah.
Next. But no, I mean, we're not quite ready for that yet. Well, I'm not. But so yeah, it is busy. It is busy. The team is very busy.
Yeah. And is it weird for you in the sense that other bookers and promoters, when their festival finishes, they get to relax and it's over, but you need to say, okay, Body and Soul is done, and now we're looking towards Latitude and we're looking towards Electric Picnic. Is that hard to just keep going when you feel like you should have some time to chill?
It can be. You know, I think other bookers are probably, you know, doing other stuff as well.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is, you know, fully resting on their laurels. I do, later in the summer, I need to step out of it and almost not listen to a thing for a few weeks and kind of wash the brain completely and take an in-breath, and that's important, and just be fully with the kids. You know, from the beginning of the year, although the full focus is, of course, Body and Soul Festival, you are watching acts that will, you know, come through for the other things as well. For the, when I say things, I mean Body and Soul at Latitude, well, Solace at Latitude, and Picnic. So I'm a terrible person for scribbling things on pieces of paper and post-it notes. So I just need to gather up all my post-it notes and get a bit more organized. So there's a lot out there that I know is you know, that we'll go forward with. So it can be a little bit hard. You need to just, it's around now, you feel naturally that you should be chilling out on a beach somewhere, but you have to just grit down and carry on.
Now's your busiest time.
Yeah. Kind of grit down for a little while.
And do you book differently for Body and Soul at Electric Picnic compared to the standalone festival?
Do we? Yes and no. You know, I think the, you know, Body and Soul at Picnic is us, but on a smaller level.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, we go for similar kind of music. I suppose it is a bit different. Yeah, I guess it probably is. I've never really looked at it in an analytical way or, you know, stood back from it.
It's just natural to you.
It's just kind of natural, and I do think they speak differently. But I know those voices very well, so maybe I'm able to slip in and out of them. Pat Neary would work with me very closely for Picnic. So, yeah, we would spend a lot of time just chatting over the phone, laughing about, you know, what about this and what about that, and, you know, enjoying it, really. So, yeah, they probably are different.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I suppose, one last question.
Sure.
Where do you want to take Body and Soul? Can you think that far ahead? I know you're moving into Latitude now. Do you want to have sections in a lot of festivals? What's the future hold?
Again, you know, there's nothing set in stone. I very much like to get things right, you know, and we'd never sit in our laurels with Body and Soul Festival and just assume that that's it now and we can, you know. But again, it would be nice to look at, you know, partnerships perhaps that worked with us and worked with how we kind of do things. But everything would need to be very considered because we are a small team. There's only so many hours in the day and you don't want to compromise.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You can't compromise yourself.
Your
core, your team, your people, your time, and your how you like to do things. So it would need to be very carefully done. But I think there's always room to grow a little bit. Body and Soul is obviously staying, you know, as is, and we still want to, you know, this year, like every year we do Body and Soul Festival, they take, you know, Megan and Avril and all the team take such a lot of time in looking at what happened on the site, how did it work, what's the feedback from people going back the next year to get it right, like digging fields for drainage and that tree, and, you know, the work that's within the site is huge. So, you know, we're not growing, we don't want to grow the size of the festival, certainly not.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I know people from last year were questioning the size, but if I'm honest with you, I liked 15,000. I think
you're happy with that now.
I personally am. I think smaller.
And you started off with 1500?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we've never wanted to be a 25,000, 30,000 capacity festival. We've no interest in that at all.
I think it might take away from
it would,
that closeness.
It's not what we want to do at all, no. And you couldn't do across the site with that size festival. It's just not what we're into. However, for me, even, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12, it's kind of like, oh, I'm still bumping into the same people.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it, though.
It is, but, you know, just that little bit bigger means you can kind of just run off and, you know, do your own thing for a little while and still come back and meet people and still come back and have that core thing going on. But it's just, it's big enough to get lost in if you want, but small enough to meet people. So Body and Soul, no, that's not growing. That's staying as is, and just more work will continue within the site, within the infrastructure, within, you know, the smaller, what's the best way? Like areas. There's so many fantastic smaller areas.
So, you know, many.
Yeah, and they're a lot of the joy, you know. Yeah. Obviously our bigger stages are amazing too, but, you know, there's people doing incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's as much about the exploring as
absolutely,
it is the headline.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah, which is really nice, and that will be the continuum going forward. And if we can find other people to do cool stuff with, then I think we're open to it, sure.
Cool. Awesome. That was deadly. Look, thank you so much. Can you go home now?